Over the post-war years, our first-past-the-post system has tended to produce single-party governments swinging between Labour and Conservatives, but they are losing their share of the votes as the smaller parties gain in popularity.
Whoever wins the next general election, a lot of voters are going to be unhappy. There's a chance that the Prime Minister might come from a party that hasn't got the largest share of the vote and might not even have the largest number of seats in Parliament. And how would you feel if you're a UKIP or a Green voter? You may get a large proportion of votes, but only a handful of seats. These are big issues. And in the last parliamentary session, the people had their say on two major constitutional issues. First, on changing the voting system to the alternative vote, and then on Scottish independence. And they rejected both.
Despite losing the referendum, the Scottish National Party continues to stride powerfully ahead and are on course to become the third largest party in Westminster. This could make their leader, Nicola Sturgeon, the kingmaker, determining whether David Cameron remains as Prime Minister or has to step aside for Ed Miliband.
A pivotal role for a party that is only standing in one of the four nations of the United Kingdom and is likely to get only around 4% of the total vote.
If the nationalist sentiment found here in Glasgow is mirrored across the rest of Scotland, the SNP could win up to 55 seats, largely from Labour.
So if there were to be a new Labour Prime Minister, he would almost certainly be dependent upon the support of the SNP.
He would also be governing over a largely conservative voting England. Rather ironic given the previous years of conservative rule over a Labour voting Scotland. This will inevitably put further strain on the cohesion of the Union
and once again raise the thorny issue of whether it is fair for Scottish MPs to vote on matters affecting only England.
And ultimately put the question of Scottish independence back on the agenda.
You might imagine that the voters of Scotland and elsewhere have had their bellyful of constitutional arguments. When offered the chance to change to the alternative vote system as a way of electing MPs to this House, they gave a resounding no thanks. But the other side of the coin is an undeniable sense of public dissatisfaction, a desire for change, for something different. But what? If this general election doesn't produce a result that satisfies the majority of voters, there is a danger that existing dissatisfaction might be compounded, developing into further anger and frustration. And however that anger finds expression, there is a danger that it will make the politicians' job and that of the civil servants a whole lot harder.